I want to briefly recap this month's messages by reminding you of some of the highlights. If you remember first, thankfulness is something that must be sought after. It must be something all believers desire for their heart and is to be pursued daily. When Christians become more grateful, God gets more praise. And then people will see how impactful living for Jesus can actually be in their own life. Next, becoming more grateful requires a plan. Paul gave us a great strategy which can help lead us to a more grateful heart. Remember what he said from Colossians 3, where he informs us to put on or to clothe our hearts with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love. There's a plan. There's a strategy to become more grateful. And then finally, as we discussed last week, the season of Thanksgiving gives Christians, it gives us an opportunity to disciple those that are in the church on the importance of worshiping God with our gratitude. But it also allows us to reach outside the church with the message of the gospel in a moment that you might not think you could, but you can do that in a very loving and non-threatening way. And I put on here, a grateful life is putting into practice that phrase, be in the world, but not of the world. So today we're going to conclude this series on Thanksgiving, or this series on gratitude, by looking at another concept which is linked, I think, well, not just me, but the Bible thinks. It's linked to our level of gratitude. The Bible indicates that gratitude and generosity go hand in hand. But to see this, we need to first look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. So let's see what it says. I'll give you a second to get there, or you can look at the screen. And this is a familiar passage. In my Bible, it's categorized and it's labeled, and this is the section called the cheerful giver. Verse 6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided where? In his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce, here it is, thanksgiving to God. You see how our gratitude and our generosity are linked together? Verse 12, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of their surpassing grace of God upon you, verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now I know what you're thinking. Oh boy, here we go. 4 years in and the pastor's finally going to give us a giving sermon. Well, don't worry. It's not that bad. After reading this, I want you to consider this statement. Grateful people enjoy giving more, and generous people tend to be more grateful. See, in our passage, Paul is giving us a pep talk. He's giving a pep talk to the faithful. Now, in context, in his day, this letter is to where? The people the faithful people of the church of Corinth, right? The people that live in Corinth, right? But he's giving them this pep talk, but he's also giving us today this pep talk. And in this pep talk, he's challenging us to be, as it says here in the Word, generous in every way. If you think back to our previous messages throughout this, there was verbiage and there was scripture that we said. It said what? In all things, give thanks, right? Whether in what? Word or deed, in all things, be what? Grateful, be thankful. Okay, so our gratitude is in all things, but Paul here is saying our generosity should follow suit. Not just in the ways that we think it's going to help, but be generous in every way. The reward for generosity, as we read here, is the provision from God of giving us even more generosity. It's exponential. When you learn or you teach yourself or you train yourself to become generous, and you begin to feel what that is like, then you say to yourself, man, I like that. I want to do that more often. So what does it do? It begins to expand, and the more generous you are, the more generous you will become. He wants us to see that giving is a powerful form of worship. And I've said this before. We come in here and we think of worship as what? We're going to sing a few songs. Right, that's, we call it worship service. But there's many forms of worship. Prayer is worship. Giving a tithe or an offering is worship. Singing is worship. Giving of time is worship. When it's done, what? From the heart. Didn't we read that? I think we did. What does it say? Let me find it. Oh, verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. And I've had this question before about the whole tithing thing. Where in the Bible does it say 10%? Where in the Bible is that a biblical thing? Well, right here's the biblical evidence for it. Is there a number attached to it? No. What's attached to it? You give according to your heart. For some, and if y'all remember the story of the lady that didn't have anything but two little pennies. She probably needed that, but guess what? The generosity in her heart told her to give that, and it left her with nothing. God's more concerned with where it's coming from than how much it is. And I'm not just talking about the money part, by the way. We'll get to that here shortly. The other thing about our generosity, and we read that at the end of this, it deals with the spreading of the good news of Jesus. We need to be generous with that. Because the good news of Jesus is not just something to be heard. It also involves a response of concrete gifts of love from the hearts of believers. In other words, your belief in Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the impacts of that on your life, one of the results of that, is it leads you into giving real, actual gifts to others in the name of Jesus. Why? Because in your heart, you know He loves you, and you want to, in turn, do what? Follow His command to love others. Being grateful, being generous, but being grateful in all aspects of life will lead you into a more generous lifestyle. And when this takes place, gratitude leads to giving, and giving leads to more gratitude. And when observed on a whole, guess who gets all the praise and all the honor and all the glory? Should we go back and sing that third song again? God receives more praise and more honor every step of the way. If you're getting the praise, something's wrong. But if God, every step of the process, every step of the way, receives praise, honor, and glory, then something's right. And that's where we got to be, right? That's where we got to be. Not only is Paul telling us to be generous, but he's also asking us to be cheerful when doing so. It says what? If we give reluctantly, we'll not be satisfied. It says right there, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Cheerful giving. Sometimes, I'm not saying that it happens all the time, but sometimes we give, whether it be money or whether it be time or whether it be something else, out of obligation. But can I just say this? That's not God's way. God doesn't want it that way. God wants it to be what? Without reluctance, without any hesitation. He wants it to be led of the Spirit. Where? That's flowing and living in your heart. That's what Paul's trying to teach us in this passage. But what does a cheerful giver look like? That's a question that cannot be answered by looking at a person's outside. We can only tell what a cheerful giver looks like by their heart, their behaviors, and their actions. Cheerful givers are those who decide to give out of their heart, as we just read, not reluctantly or under compulsion. A cheerful giver would never give something out of obligation, or here's the kicker, from a self-seeking or self-serving attitude. While on the surface, many givers might look the same, a cheerful giver is radically different. In other words, cheerful givers do not begrudgingly make offerings, nor do they lavish the offering plate with funds from a desire to be praised by others. Instead, they choose to give out of the joy of their hearts. I say, preacher, I thought you said you weren't going to talk about my giving. Well, giving cheerfully doesn't only involve money. Neither is it measured, as we just said, by an amount. Remember, God is more concerned with the condition of your heart than with how much you may bring to the table. It means giving sometimes by our talents. If you got a talent, and you know you got a talent, you know what? God might want you to use that talent for the kingdom. But if you refuse to use that talent, when you know God's wanting you to use that talent, then what are you doing? You're dampering not just what God's got in store for you in your life, but you're dampering what God might have in store for someone else in their life. It holds the same, guess what, for our spiritual gifts. And I can remember, I don't know how long ago it was, but we went through and we studied the spiritual gifts and we took the spiritual gift test. And the whole point of that was what? To try to discover what our spiritual gifts are. But if we discover what our spiritual gifts are and we say, well, I don't really like that, so I'm not going to do anything with it, we get ourselves in trouble. So don't think of generosity as only being monetary. Or things, or stuff. God wants us to be generous in all ways, in everything. So if he's given us a spiritual gift, guess what he wants us to do with that spiritual gift? Not just use it, but use it generously. I do it all the time. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he's given me the gift to be a pastor. And I get up here, and he gets a hold of me, and I promise you, when he gets a hold of me and I start doing crazy stuff, it's him, it ain't me. Because if you hang out with me, I'm not like that. I'm not naturally like that. I'm just not. But God says to give generously in every way and everything. And if he's give you a gift, and you set it on the table, and you do nothing with it, then what you're telling God is, I know you give me that for a purpose, but I'm not going to use it because I don't like it. Not just talents, not just gifts. And here's a big one. Here's a big one. Man, I'm just too busy. It's time. Now this is where I am going to get on your toes, because I'm guilty of it too. We make time for what we want to make time for. And boy, if that don't cut you to the heart, then something's wrong. God says in everything, every way to be generous. That means our time as well. And boy, we love being generous with our time, with the things that we want to be generous with. But what about your time that God's asking you to give? I'm going to stop. I won't say more, but I'm going to stop. Because I just said it. I'm guilty too. We do. We find time for the things that we want to find time for. My question, though, is when are you going to find time for God? When are you going to find time for Jesus? Not only is that our talents or our gifts or our time, but most importantly, it means giving of yourself. You say, well, most people don't like me. Why won't we give me generously? They might not like you, but they like the Jesus in you. And people need to see the Jesus in you. And just like when we was talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, they need that to be presented to them in a generous manner. And I can't think of any better way than the Jesus that lives inside of you to be displayed and shown very generously to those around you. And we've been talking about it a lot. But how do we do that? Is it the monetary things? Is it the gifts? Not necessarily. Sometimes it is the taking time to sit down with someone. Taking time. And listen, I did this past week, and it's uncomfortable for me because it's not natural. Taking time to sit down and write a note in a card and mail it. Now, I'm just being honest with you. It's not a natural thing for me. But as I'm preparing for this message, and I'm looking at all these words, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you're right, God. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. You say, well, now you just confess that you sent them cards out of guilt. No, I sent them cards out of confession. To say, God, I know I'm wrong. But I don't want to be that way anymore, so just help me in a baby step kind of way to be more generous with what you've given me. And for some reason, that's where he wanted me to start. That's where he wanted me to start. In everything, in every way, train yourself to become more generous. Another example of cheerful giving brings us to Jesus Christ himself. Not just another example, the ultimate example. The ultimate example. Just think for a minute on what he gave. On what Jesus gave. We will never cultivate a true lifestyle of giving cheerfully without the help of our Savior. And this type of giving traces directly back to God. Think about it. God himself is a cheerful giver. He freely gives salvation to us through placing faith in Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. In other words, he says, I'm gonna give you the key to everything at some point in time. All I ask is that you put your faith, you put your belief in my Son, Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. God also demonstrates the heart of a cheerful giver through his act of giving us eternal life. We've talked about this a lot in our Revelation study. You know, in that Revelation study, you read that stuff and it sounds horrible. You know who it's really horrible for? Those that deny him. But you know who it's awesome for? You know who it's great for? For those that accept him and believe him. And here's the thing. God doesn't need us. And what he's going to give us one day, nobody sitting here deserves it. But he does it anyway. Now that's the definition of a cheerful giver, a generous giver. Because he's going to give you something that's just, we can't even fathom really what it is. We just get written words to describe it using English language, because it's been translated to that, using languages of the day to try to put into words what was shown about what it's going to be like one day. And even in that, I think it might be 5% correct or accurate, if you want to say it that way. We have no true, real understanding of what awaits for us. But God does it. Why? Because he loves you. God does it because he loves. Think of it this way. He gave his son Jesus to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, to come back again one day. Not for show. Not for dough. But for you. That didn't rhyme, did it? All my poets in the room. But that's what he did it for. He gave his life for you. I cannot think of any greater example to try to be like in terms of being a generous, cheerful giver. Cheerful giving must be intentional. And it must be prioritized to the top of our list in terms of our Christian walk. The Holy Spirit will help you and guide you as to when, where, what, and how much you should give. I know people that stress over that, y'all. They stress over the amount. Stress over the amount that they give, whether it be time, whether it be talent, whether it be money. They just stress over it, right? And I get that. I fully understand that. But if we go back to Paul's teaching, we go back to the Word of God, what does it say? Don't worry about the amount. Worry about whether or not it's coming from what? The right place. From the heart. That's the key. What's the motivation behind it? What's the intent behind it? Remember, giving's got to be intentional and prioritized. And the Holy Spirit will help lead you and guide you in what is proper. One doesn't have to give hundreds or thousands of dollars to be a cheerful giver. One just has to give generously of themselves. Here's another point to consider when referencing our giving. Many people shy away from getting involved with activities or groups or classes or even other individuals because it'll take away our time or require some other form of sacrifice. However, the individual who is a cheerful giver gives freely of their time and resources and does so without complaint. The cheerful giver loves to help others, and they do so, most importantly, by giving of their time. Works the same with our mercy. Works the same with our forgiveness. Works the same with our grace. Works the same with our love. Now I get it. All this sounds like an impossible goal, doesn't it? Yet we should never view being a cheerful giver as a goal. Anybody goal-oriented, goal-driven, task-driven? Like, you know, I got to get this done, and until that's done, they don't think about anything else. I mean, the whole world around them can be falling apart, but they got to get that done, right? That's what I mean. If that's what's motivating the giving, then something is wrong. Something is wrong. If that's what's motivating our mercy, then something is wrong. If that's what's motivating our forgiveness, then something is wrong. If that's what's motivating our grace, then something is wrong. If that's what's motivating our love, then something is wrong. Our generous, cheerful giving cannot and should not be goal-oriented. Rather, being a cheerful giver comes directly because of a transformation or a change that has occurred in our heart. Now look, it can be hard to become a cheerful giver. Yet with God's help, we can begin implementing this practice into our lives. Our hearts will be changed and renewed as we grow to become Christ-like in our giving. But here's the thing. Our nature is not to do this. It's not. We talked about this last week. Most people complain as opposed to give thanks or give in general. It's not in our nature to give generously nor do it cheerfully. But we can do it with the help of God, with the help of Jesus, with the help of the Holy Spirit. How does he help us? Well, you got to decide. You've got to make up in your own mind, I want to become a more generous person. In other words, you got to set out with an intent. You got to become intentional. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, it might start on your feet before your Father and just say, I recognize, God, I can't do this. I know I need to be that way, but I'm not that way. Help me get that way. Teach me how to be that way. Start with something small, God, because I can't handle it all in one dose. Be honest with him. But talk to him. He already knows. He does. The part is, you got to admit it. You got to let yourself know. Hey, I want to be this way. God tells me to be this way, but I can't be that way. And I know what you're going to say. I don't have the resources. Well, if we go back to what Paul's teaching is, when you begin to use the resources that you got, then guess what you're going to get? More resources. And when you get more resources, don't be like I do often. Hey, I got more resources to use on myself. No, he's giving you them resources because he wants you to use those resources to be more generous to others. Whew. I didn't think I'd get all that out. After all, who gives you that which you have? Every single bit of it comes from the Father. And yes, he gives you some of that for yourself and your family. Why? Because he is our provider. But I can tell you this, he's not giving it all just for you. That's unbiblical. He wants you to be a generous giver. He wants you to actually be filled with joy when you do it. Boy, anybody else other than me struggle with that? When you say, well, you know, this is great. I feel like I need to give to this ministry, or I feel like I need to go and give of my time to this ministry, whatever way it is, whether I'm writing a check or whether I'm going and serving, whether I'm handing out a meal to the first responders that we got coming up, whatever it might be. You know, when you start to do those things, you ever like me say, oh, man, I'd rather be doing this today. Or really, I got to go up there and be nice to people? Yeah, that's kind of what we're about, or ought to be about. Especially if our heart's being transformed, it's being changed to be more like Christ. Because when that's happening, guess what's going to naturally come out of that anyway? You got to be intentional. You got to have a heart that's open to helping others. Now, I just said it. It's not natural sometimes, is it? I see some people, and I think, boy, I ain't helping him. I ain't helping her. I know what they're going to do. It's not a natural thing. So let me just say this. Ask God to open your heart to the idea first. Open your heart to the concept first. Why? Because in your mind, you need to understand the need for it and the reasoning for it. In every step of the way, your generosity, your giving, as you transform your heart, what are you doing in the process? Just the sheer act of doing it, as we read right here, who gets the praise and glory? God does. God does. And there's no more powerful testimony than when somebody sees this guy or this gal that they know, woo boy, what their past was like. But now they see them doing what? Living for Jesus. And they say, they just ain't no way what's happened. What a powerful testimony. You ain't got to say a word. Because people will look and say, man, that person gave their life to Jesus. And they say, that's got to be it. That's got to be it. You got to be intentional. You got to have a heart that's at least open to the idea. Cheerful giving, guess what? It'll take time and practice to get built up. But yet it's a beautiful thing, as we read right here, in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God. One of the most uncomfortable things for a pastor is to get up and give sermons, messages about giving. But I want you to hear my heart, though. I want you to hear my heart. This pastor would rather see you give your talents, your time, use your spiritual gifts, use the beautiful smile that God has given you, than I would see you write a big old fat check and then sit there and do nothing else. The God I follow, the God I put my faith in, tells me in His Word, and we saw this in The Chosen on the Sermon on the Mount, even the birds of the air, God provides for. He'll provide. I believe that. I trust that. I know that to the deepest part of my soul. But God asks you to give generously, not just of your money, but of everything, in every way, all the time. We started this whole month series about increasing our level of gratitude. And I'm ending it with a challenge to not just increase your level of gratitude, but also increase your level of generosity. And you know where that needs to be, not me. You know where it needs to be for you, not me. Not me. And I'll say this, and I'm going to close. The greatest gift, the greatest act of cheerful, generous giving was Jesus Christ being born. We're getting ready to celebrate that for a purpose, to go to the cross on my behalf. When you focus on that every day, you know what begins to happen in your heart? The generosity will increase. The gratitude will increase. Well, you start reading the things they did to Jesus. Read those every day. Your gratitude will start going. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know how God may have spoke to you through this month or just this message today. You do, though. We're going to play a song. You can stand. You can sit. You can worship. You can do business with God if you need to. You can come down here. I'll pray with you if I need to. I'm here for whatever. But I hope if you learned anything over this past month, that God loves us. And He wants us to live our lives in such a way that's filled with thanksgiving, filled with gratitude. And out of that's going to pour what? Generosity to others. in the form of the gospel, in the form of love, in the form of forgiveness, in the form of gifts, whatever it might be. That's what he wants from us. That's what he wants from us. Come if you need to, worship if you want to. So, Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord, and we know where we stand when it comes to our giving, whether it be our time, our talents, the use of our gifts, the use of the money you've blessed us with. So, Lord, may our heart, may our attitude be like that song. May we just come to your feet and give entirely of ourselves and trust you with everything. So, God, as we leave today, we just pray that you've changed us just a little bit more from what we were when we came. And Lord, may we go into this world and be the hands and feet of Jesus, be the light into the darkness that you've called us to be. Father, we love you and we thank you and we pray all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.